Today's reading is going to be in Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 21. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they had said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. Most of the rulers of the Jews at this point have been trying to trick Jesus, catch Jesus, accuse Jesus, oppose Jesus. But here we see this ruler of the synagogue that simply believes in Jesus. He comes to him and makes that statement, "Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." Even though many were opposing Jesus, there was no questioning whether miraculous things were happening. There was no questioning whether people were being healed, whether people were getting these amazing things to happen, such as this man's daughter or the woman that had the flow of blood. And so the way that Mark writes this is you have the ruler of the synagogue coming to make this request. And then as they're going, the crowd is still following him. At this point, crowds are coming out to see what's happening with Jesus. And it says that they're thronging about him. And so this woman with a flow of blood that draws his attention, she has come to him with the idea that, well, if I could just touch the garment, if I could just get close enough to touch that garment, she would be healed. And that was faith. It was faith that Jesus had this kind of power. She's already gone to see the physicians. She's already tried to endure, and she's never gotten any better. But she comes to Jesus with this idea that, you know, I can be healed if I could just get close enough to touch him. I don't even have to talk to him. I just need to touch the hem of his garment. Now, Jairus has come to him about his daughter. And I can imagine that it must have been frustrating for Jairus to have all of these distractions going on. If his daughter was, you know, sick unto the point of death, then there's a sense of urgency to get Jesus there now. I mean, just imagine if your child was ill today and you called for an ambulance, for example. And along the way, they kept getting stopped to do other things. You would feel a sense of urgency. You would be upset by that. So I imagine that Jairus is probably feeling this same thing. But remember that Jesus knows everything. Jesus knows what's going on, and he has the power to yes, even overcome death for this daughter of this ruler of the synagogue. And so while it'd be great to see Jesus heal others, I can imagine that he would like for, you know, things to move along, get home, let's go take care of my daughter. Now, Jesus knows when this woman touches his garment. He knows what has happened. He knows that she's been made well. But he asks this question, who touched my garments? I personally believe that he already knew. He already knew who touched him. So this was for the benefit of the people around him. And so the woman is scared, says that she was trembling and she fell down before him and told him the whole truth. I don't know what she was expecting. Was she thinking, Jesus is going to be mad at me because I snuck up here and did this? Who knows what she's thinking at this point, but I think she thinks she's in trouble. But Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. He's not upset at all. But he does let her know that it was great faith that moved her to do that. And he recognizes her for that. Now, verse 35 says, while he was still speaking, someone comes from Jairus' house and says, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the teacher anymore. And at this time, he's got to be devastated. I mean, imagine being told your 12-year-old child just died. I mean, I know for me, that would be a moment of, you know, dropping to my knees and crying out even to express my grief. But in verse 36, Jesus overhears this and he says, do not fear, only believe. He takes Peter, James, and John. They go to his house. There's all these people that are weeping and they're wailing because the girl has died. He tells them, child is not dead. It's just sleeping. And they laugh at him. Their response is, we can tell when somebody's sleeping. They're not sleeping. She's dead. And so when it says they laughed at him, I don't think it was a laugh out loud. I think it was derision, you know. Don't you think we would know the difference between sleeping and dead? But he puts them out, takes the father and the mother and those in with him, takes the girl by the hand, tells her to arise, and she does. The Son of God says, arise, and life appears, even in what seems lifeless. You know what? If you really think about it, this is what Jesus came to do. Not to bring the dead back to life, but to bring life itself. Just a thought for us to consider. So the girl gets up. They're overcome with amazement. And he tells them something that he has told others. Don't tell others about this. Just go give the girl something to eat. You know, don't go out and tell everybody about it. So let's think. Go back to that idea. When he tells the father, don't fear, just believe. Understand that fear, when we're talking about believing in God and believing the power of God, that fear and faith are incompatible. They don't go together. Fear is a lack of faith. He's telling him, have faith. In essence, that's what he's telling him. You know, fear is because you're expecting something bad, something terrible. But it limits faith because faith is optimistic instead of fearful. You know, Jesus had the power of life itself. This man needed to simply believe that Jesus had that power. So he tells him, have faith. We need to have faith. You know, we're told that when we ask of God, we need to do so in faith and not doubt. Well, we need to expect God to fulfill the things that he promises to us in faith without doubting. Doubt needs to be cast aside in favor of faith. We need to think, you know, how many times am I fearful when I really need to turn to God? And perhaps what we can pray about today is that we have faith that God's bigger than all the things that we might be able to fear. He's bigger than everything that happens in my life. And some bad things are probably going to happen. That's the way this life on this earth is. But God's still bigger. God can carry me through if I have faith in Him. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.